that we are here this morning. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done.
I know that's right.
It's why we are here. Not because we've been so good and holy and righteous, but because he is a good, holy, and righteous God. It's why we are here this morning. And all of our thanks and praise go to God for this moment. I certainly want to take a minute to thank the lectureship committee for inviting me to come and have a small part in this momentous event. Alabama State Lectureship seems to get better and better every year. And once again, the committee has done a wonderful job in putting together this lectureship. Certainly my thanks and highest commendations go out to Brother John Branch, eldership, leadership, and membership of the Northwest Church of Christ, and all the surrounding congregations that may have participated in putting things together for the let me start that one again. Just want to thank John Branch and the membership and the leadership and eldership here in the Huntsville area congregations for the splendid job you have done in organizing and orchestrating this 40th annual lectureship. Certainly, I know that all of the speakers have done outstanding jobs all week long, and I was here last night, and certainly those men, I think I told Brother Moss this morning that after you guys got through last night, I started to get in my car and going back to Birmingham. and certainly, Brother Delmar and Brother David C., Brother Joe Davis, they have done outstanding work in presenting the gospel message this morning. Certainly, they've done a great, great job. As I looked at my assigned topic, I thought of a story that I heard or read somewhere that there was a young boy that was acting up in church. He was just misbehaving, just would not be still, would not hush, was fidgeting, and after several admonitions, Brother Davis, the father thought we'll have to do something. Picked the boy up and began to take him out of the auditorium. And as he was taking him out of the auditorium, the boy was heard saying, "Y'all pray for me, pray for me, pray for me." And so I'm asking this morning that y'all will pray for me after coming behind such great preaching. And on a more serious note, I ask that you would pray for my wife, Priscilla. Some of you know that she has a serious illness, and we thank God that the Lord has brought her a mighty long way. But she still has some miles to cover as we are asking for her complete healing and complete remission of the cancer. So we ask that if you have a prayer list, please put Sister Priscilla Clark on your prayer list. To the business at hand, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, you find these Holy Spirit-inspired words. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." My assigned topic is be on your best behavior in the house. When verse 14 is coupled with verse 15, I believe I can safely conclude one of the purposes for the Apostle Paul penning this Holy Spirit inspired epistle to his son in the gospel, Timothy, was to instruct him and future generations of Timothy's and believers on how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The God's Word translation puts it this way. It says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. This text tells us that how we behave matters to God, and it ought to matter to us. This text tells us that how we behave is important to God, and it ought to be important to us. The phrase ought to in the text, the phrase ought to expresses obligation, such as one ought to pay his or her debt. Ought to expresses expectation, such as one ought to be here by now. So there is obligation on our part and expectation on God's part that members of his house live up to a certain standard of behavior, that members of his house live up to a certain code of conduct. And if Timothy had to teach those at Ephesus how they ought to behave in the house of God, then we as preachers and teachers of God's word, we still have that same charge to not only teach people how to be saved, but how to live after they are saved. Not only to teach people how to be born again, but to teach them how they ought to behave after they have been born anew. Not only do we need to teach people how to be forgiven of their sin, but to teach them how to be on their best behavior after they have been forgiven. So not only do we need to teach people how to get into the house, but how to behave after they are in the house. Now, from this assigned text, I've lifted three concepts for your consideration this morning. First of all, a difference is implied. And this difference tells us that we ought to have some changes that takes place in our lives. You see, when we look up at this text, we see that it says that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. That implies that one's behavior, who is part of the house of God, should be different from those who are not part of the house of God. Otherwise, there would be there have been no need for instruction on how to behave once you became part of the house. Do you get me? In other words, if I could behave the same way after I'm in the house that I was behaving before I was in the house, there would have been no need for Paul to write Timothy instructing him to teach people how they ought to behave once they're in the house. You see, Ephesus. Ephesus was a mecca of paganism and idol worship, where the temple dedicated to the goddess Diana was located. And those obeying the gospel had to be taught how to live after leaving this paganistic culture that they had once embraced. You see, once you become a part of the house of God, behavior ought to be modified. Behavior ought to be changed. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 speaks about this change. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The New Century Version says, do not be shaped
by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. The New Century Version speaks of the same thing. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, this change of behavior is emphasized. It says, the New Century Version says, in Ephesians 4:17, in the Lord's name I tell you, do not continue living like those who do not believe. The God's Word translation says, so I tell you and encourage you in the Lord's name not to live any longer like people of the world. In other words, once we come into the house, a change of behavior is necessary. You see, doping and drunken behavior ought to change to sober behavior. Immoral behavior ought to change to moral behavior. Dishonest behavior ought to change to honest behavior. Unloving behavior ought to change to loving behavior. Unforgiving behavior, help me, Holy Spirit, ought to change to forgiving behavior. Stingy behavior ought to change to generous behavior. A change of position demands a change of behavior. Once you are part of the house of God, we are called to change our behavior and be on our best behavior.
Secondly, notice the daily call. It is of the utmost importance that we understand this morning that the church of the living God is not a physical house, but a spiritual house. 1 Peter 1:5 says we are built up a spiritual house, a spiritual family. Do you not know some folk are still confused on this matter? Read a story of a man who went to see about a job, and he was filling out the job application. And he's filling out the job application. He came to a question that says, what is your church preference? And willing to and wanting to impress the personnel manager, he wrote down, I prefer a red brick church. He really didn't understand. And as we laugh, probably all of us got some folk in our congregation who still believe that the church is the building that they come to assemble in. You see, when we understand the spiritual nature of the house, that as we that we as members, as people, make up the house, we will not limit our best behavior to being in the building. We are the ecclesia, a called out people. Yes, we ought to be on our best behavior when we are in Sunday school or Bible study. Yes, we ought to be on our best behavior when we're in worship services and any other event that takes place at the building. But our best behavior should extend much further than when we are in assemblies or in some event that's taking place in the building. When we consider that we the people are the church, then the fact is, the truth is, we are never out of church. Church is always in. The benediction may dismiss us from one another, but the benediction does not dismiss us from church. Since we are in church 24/7, we ought to be on our best behavior 24/7. Oh yes, we ought to be on our best behavior at home. We ought to be on our best behavior when we're on the job. We ought to be on our best behavior when that supervisor gets under our skin. We ought to be on our best behavior at school. We ought to be on our best behavior at the grocery store or at the mall. We ought to be on our best behavior when someone cuts us off on the interstate. We ought to be on our best behavior when that person that hates you gets on your last nerve. You see, the point being, we ought to always strive to be on our best behavior because we're always in the house. If you are part of the Lord's church, you are never out of church. You are in
in church 24/7, so you ought to be on your best behavior 24/7. Well, he said he got 10 minutes. I don't think I'm going to need that. Dividends from being on our best behavior in the house of God. Well, one of the reasons, besides being obedient to the Lord and to the word of God, is that unbelievers and unsaved folk are watching. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You see, our behavior is under observation from our unsaved neighbors, from our unsaved co-workers. Our behavior is under observation from our unsaved family members. Our behavior is under examination, under investigation, and under close scrutinization by all men. The unbelieving world is watching to see if our walk matches our talk. The unbelieving world is watching to see if our life service matches our lip service. The unbelieving world is watching to see if our performance matches our profession. The unbelieving world is watching to see if our conduct matches our confession. The unbelieving world is watching to see if our behavior matches what we say we believe. That's why it behooves us to be on our best behavior at all times. Yes, as a cloak. Note 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. The New King James Version says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Yes, sir.
You see, being on your best behavior may cause you to be criticized, but in the end, it brings glory to my God. Oh, yes, being on your best behavior in the house may cause you to be falsely accused, but it brings glory to my God. Yes, being on your best behavior may cause you to be persecuted, but that's all right, because it brings glory to my God.
Yes,
being on your best behavior may cause you to be ridiculed, but that's all right, because it brings glory to God. It may cause you to be scorned, but that's all right. It brings glory to my God. It may cause you to be called a do-gooder or some other kind of name, but that's all right, because it's bringing glory to my God. It may cause you to be cursed out, left out, kicked out, and put out, but that's all right, because in the end, it brings glory to my God. And that's what being a part of the house, part of the church, is all about. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church, not in your fraternity or sorority. Unto him be glory in the church, not in the Masons or the Eastern Stars. Unto him be glory in the church, not in the Salvation Army. Unto him be glory, glory, glory. Unto him be glory where? Not in the church of your choice. Unto him be glory. Unto him be glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. As I try to close, finally, to be on your best behavior in the house of God, you must first become part of the house. Part of the church of the living God. And I want to tell you something this morning, that what you can find in the house, you can't find anywhere else. You may look high and low, far and near, but what you can find in the house, you can't find anywhere else. Those things that you need and are looking for in the whiskey bottle and in the dope and in sexual immorality, all those things that you're searching far, near, far, and can't find them. I'm telling you, you can find them in the church.
Yes, sir.
Well, what can you find? Well, I don't know what you need this morning, but if you need joy for your journey, it's in the house.
Yeah.
If you need a balm for your bruises, it's in the house. If you need healing for your hurts, it's in the house. If you need comfort for your confusion, it's in the house. If you need mercy for your misery, it's in the house. You need grace for your guilt, it's in the house. You need that peace that passes all understanding, it's in the house. You need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Help me, Holy Spirit, it's in the house. You need a shelter from the storm, it's in the house. You need strength for your weakness, it's in the house. You need light for the dark days of your life, it's in the house. You need rest from your weariness, it's in the house. You need victory over your vices, it's in the house. You need a cure for your crisis, it's in the house. You need an answer for your anxiety, it's in the house. You need salvation for your lost soul,
it's in the house.
You need a savior, you need a savior this morning, it's in the house. Jesus, it's in the house.
Amen.
Begin this morning with something, another comment, and stand in the same time.